in the case of the Japanese American incarceration, two-thirds of the 120,000 people that were put behind barbed wire here in the United States during World War II were American-born citizens. And there were no charges made against them. Their only crime, so to speak, was that they were of Japanese ancestry. This book is about the positive stories, because I think that one of the qualities about the Japanese-American culture is you don't hold on to the negative. You try to look for the positive. You know, you kind of roll with it. There's a term called shikataganai, which sort of means, you know, if they hand you lemons, like make lemonade, you know. It's, or another way I like to think of it is living well is the best revenge.
What made you want to write about this topic?
Well, I'm third generation Japanese American. And I was born actually in 1946, a few months actually after the last incarceration camp closed. And my entire extended family was incarcerated. And my mother never got over the loss of this beautiful 140-acre ranch that her family had leased, you know, along the ocean. She talked about it for the rest of her life. And my father, on the other hand, didn't talk much about camp, but he was in the U.S. military for 22 years. And it turned out it was because it was his way of sort of vindicating his family's loyalty. He ended up becoming the chief of military security for the 8 Western states, which is the same position as Colonel Ben Detson, who implemented the incarceration. My father had that same job 20 years later, and he couldn't tell anybody because his job was top secret. I myself did not know for another 30 years.
Wow, and you found out because he eventually told you?
No, he wrote an article about it in a magazine that I was editing.
And then you called him up and told him you found his little article? That's amazing. So we don't often hear the stories of those who recognized the incarceration was wrong and actually stepped up to help the Japanese Americans that were in camps. What were the struggles and successes of those who decided to help the Japanese Americans who were incarcerated at that time?
Somebody told me the story of a woman who was incarcerated with her family in one of the camps. And after she died, her family was going through her things. And inside a little trunk wrapped in tissue paper was a little tiny baby dress. And they realized that the Quakers had been sending baby layettes to the mothers of all the children born in the camps. And one of these layettes, you know, with a receiving blanket and a little dress and some diapers, had come to this woman. Well, she'd had a boy. She never got a chance to use that dress, but she kept it because to her, it was a reminder that there was people outside somewhere that cared. You know, she's stuck out in some incarceration camp in the middle of Wyoming or something, and there was just that sense that it was a glimmer of hope.
Thinking about insight, what insight have you gained in looking at why this country incarcerated some of its own citizens and why the nation at that time made that decision?
You know, there's something about, I guess, the Eastern way of looking at life that you don't complain that something has happened because it happened. Deal with it. But there is something to be said for what can you do going forward. I don't think that I really realized until I started doing the research for the book how deep the racism was, how institutionalized it was. So I think a lot of Japanese Americans are very committed to the idea that this should never happen to another group, that no group should ever be targeted because of their race.
Shizue Siegel, author of In Good Conscience, Supporting Japanese Americans During the Internment, thanks so much for being here and for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.